Are you an accredited investor looking for a new opportunity to generate passive income and build the retirement of your dreams? Then elevate your investment game with Viking Capital, where wealth meets wisdom. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just starting out, Viking Capital can help guide you towards financial freedom through passive real estate investing. With strong and transparent underwriting, Viking identifies low-risk opportunities with the goal of preserving investor capital and maximizing long-term growth potential. And their accessible and responsive investor relations team will help you understand how each investment will impact your unique financial goals. With $800 million in assets acquired, more than $230 million in equity raised, and more than 5,000 units under management, Viking Capital is your path to early retirement. To learn about Viking Capital's latest investment opportunity, which is available for you right now, visit go.vikingcapllc.com/best. That's go.vikingcapllc.com/best to get started today. Did you know that within a decade, women will hold $30 trillion in investable assets? Yet somehow, only 19% of women reported feeling confident in selecting investments that align with their long-term goals. Our friends at InvestHer are out to change that. InvestHerCon is the number one premier conference for women in real estate, and it's happening June 2nd through the 4th in Austin, Texas. InvestHerCon is not just another real estate conference. It's a transformational experience focused on real estate investing, business strategies, and self-care tactics, all designed to help women take control of their financial futures. Gain the knowledge and skills you need to grow your portfolio and build a sustainable business, all while connecting with over 500 women who are playing at the same level. To learn more and to get your tickets, visit InvestHerCon.com today and use the code 100BESTEVER to get $100 off your ticket. That's InvestHer, HERCon.com, promo code 100BESTEVER to get $100 off your ticket.
The second house that I bought, we bought it for $21,000 in cash, put $10,000 into repairing it, so we're in it for $31 total, and it rents for about $900 a month.
Are you ready for the best real estate investing advice ever? Join Joe Fairless and today's best ever guests as they share it with you. It's the best ever advice with none of the fluff. Let's go.
Are you having a hard time finding great investment properties? Unfortunately, the best deals are rarely found locally. Successful investing begins with the right properties in the right markets. Norada Real Estate provides everything you need to invest in the best deals across the U.S. Our simple, proven system will help you create real wealth and passive monthly cash flow. Get your free copy of the ultimate guide to out-of-state real estate investing at noradarealestate.com/guide. That's N-O-R-A-D-A realestate.com/guide.
Do you know how you can benefit from crowdfunding? If you haven't checked out our special series, Best Crowdfunding Crash Course Ever, presented by Patch of Land, then you need to. It's episodes 152, 159, 166, and 173, because you'll hear from the industry's leading crowdfunding experts on how you can benefit by getting involved, whether it's getting access to funds for your deal or passively investing in other people's deals. The time is now to get started. Go to patchofland.com/best ever to grab your copy of the top 10 answers to the top 10 crowdfunding questions. That's patchofland.com/best ever. Hi, Best Ever listeners. Welcome to the Best Real Estate Investing Advice Ever Show. I'm Joe Fairless, and I'm here with today's guest, Paula Pant. Hi, Paula.
Hi, how's it going?
It's going well. Thank you so much for joining us. Paula is joining us from Hotlanta, otherwise known as Atlanta, Georgia. She is the founder of Afford Anything. She is an active investor. She's got 7 rental properties, and she has traveled to 32 countries since quitting her 9-to-5 job. You can go to Afford Anything, her blog and website, and you'll be able to learn about real estate and lifestyle that rebels against chaining yourself to a desk for 40 years, as she refers to it. So with that being said, Paula, can you give the Best Ever listeners a little bit more about your background and what you're focused on now?
Absolutely. Hi, Best Ever listeners. Hope you're all doing well. Like Joe said, I'm Paula Pant. I used to have a 9-to-5 job once upon a time, and thank goodness I no longer do. I quit that job in 2008 and never looked back. And at this point in my life, I can't really even fathom having to wake up and put on some real clothes, rather, you know, something that's not yoga pants.
Yeah. So how did you get to that point in your career?
Well, it happened in stages. So when I quit my job, I didn't have much of a plan other than I didn't want to be working anymore. And at that time, I had no idea that real estate was in my future. At the time that I quit my job, I was a newspaper reporter back in the day. And you may not know this, but newspapers have become less popular over time.
Yeah, that's a business I wouldn't necessarily invest in anymore.
Exactly. So, you know, I could see that the industry was shrinking, the opportunities were drying up, and I could see that the future of newspaper reporting was going to be more online, more freelance. And so while I was still at the paper, I began doing freelance work just on the side in the evenings and weekends. And that did two things for me. Number one, it gave me additional income, which I could fall back on or use as a safety net after I made the leap. But number two, and I think this was more important, it gave me the confidence to know that I could. And that was critical. I would go so far as to say it never would have happened without that. And confidence is one of those really underrated topics because it's not quantifiable, it's not tangible, but it's so important. So I freelanced in the evenings and weekends. I eventually saw that I was making, as a quote-unquote hourly rate, a much higher pay rate as a freelancer than I was in my full-time job. I saved up about $25,000. And then I quit. And when I initially quit, the first thing I did was I went and traveled for a couple of years because that had been a dream that I'd had for many years. And I didn't want to defer it any longer. I thought, you know, you only live once. Let's go off and see the world. So I spent the next couple of years hopping around Europe, Southeast Asia, Australia, New Zealand, even parts of the Middle East, Egypt, Egypt, Israel, some various other areas. So had a great time. And I intentionally wasn't working almost at all during that time, just sort of living on savings. And when I came back to the United States, I had this amazing, shocking, terrible realization that I might need to get a job again. And that was so repulsive to me that I vowed to do anything I could to make sure that that never had to happen. So I threw myself into building a freelance career and, you know, and trying to make it on my own as a self-employed person. And as that was happening, I was a renter, and my brain was just in entrepreneurial mode. I was looking around for opportunities, and I crunched the numbers on the place that I was renting. I was renting one unit within a triplex. And of course, you can get the sales history from like Zillow or Trulia or any of those websites. So I knew what my landlord had bought it for, and I knew what my unit was paying in rent, and I had a pretty good estimate of what the other units were paying. And I crunched the numbers and realized my landlord was getting a terrible deal because for him, the rent equaled the mortgage, which meant there was no margin left over for vacancies, management, maintenance, repairs, anything, pest control, landlord-paid utilities such as water. I mean, there was nothing left over for him. And so I thought, wow, he's losing his shirt on this. And then a few months later, I noticed that the house across the street was for sale. And this was during the recession. This was 2010. It had been on the market for 18 months. It was a short sale. The owner was about to go into foreclosure. It had originally been listed for $440. I picked it up at $225, so almost half of its original asking price. And that was my first rental property. I moved into one of the units and rented out the other two units. And in fact, because I was starting literally at the bottom, you know, starting with not that much money, I moved into one of the units and also moved roommates in with me. So I was in that really awkward position where I was my roommate's landlord, in addition to also, you know, owning the rest of the building as well.
And really quick question on that property, where you said you got the property was worth $440,000, you bought it for $225,000 for a short sale. With you freelancing, how did you qualify for that mortgage?
Oh, well, so I had been back in the United States for maybe about a year or so at the time, but I had officially been filing taxes as a freelancer for 2 to 3 years at that point because I quit my job in 2008. So even though I wasn't making a huge amount of money, I was quote unquote self-employed for more than 2 years. I also bought it with my boyfriend. So the both of us together, and he had also been traveling with me. So both of us used our joint income to qualify for the loan. And then also the fact that we were occupying one of the units, allowed us that made it a little bit easier because instead of having to apply for an investor loan, we were owner occupants, of a residential property. So the final kind of nail in the coffin is we did have to go through multiple lenders and it was a huge pain in the butt. We had to apply many times, and B, we got penalized with a much higher interest rate than we otherwise would have gotten. We paid a 5.375 interest rate at a time that was 2010. So that was a time when most people were getting in the 3%. So we paid almost 2% higher than our peers.
Paula, what is your best real estate investing advice ever?
Do it. Just start. Just do it. I would say pick one niche and one strategy and really focus on that. Once you enter real estate, it's tempting to, and you're looking at ways to expand, it's tempting to get shiny object syndrome and say, wow, okay, I'm doing rental properties now. Maybe I could branch off into flips and then mobile home parks and commercial spaces and warehouses and shopping centers and this and that and the other. And that's enough to make your head explode. So my philosophy has always been pick one niche and one strategy. So I do residential, single family or small multifamily homes within the metro Atlanta area. And I exclusively do buy and hold. I don't invest in tax liens or flips or anything like that. And I know that's controversial. There are many people who disagree with me, but my goal has never been to be a full-time real estate investor. My goal has always been to have a stream of passive income created by real estate that supports me while I'm off doing other fun things like traveling or writing or teaching or whatever else it is that I want to do. So I don't want my mental space and my time to be occupied by expanding my real estate repertoire. I would rather just focus on one thing and become really good at that one thing.
And I'd love to backtrack, if that's okay, to right before whenever I asked you about your best real estate investing advice ever, and you were mentioning kind of how you progressed. And because I don't want to cut off that conversation, I kind of want to see that through, because you had seven rental properties. You have seven rental properties now, right?
Yes, seven units, including the three in the triplex.
Seven units. Okay, so you have seven units now. You initially got the first property. And how have you grown from there to be where you're at right now?
So I've I'm slow and steady wins the race has always sort of been my approach. And so I, after buying that triplex, I've been accumulating properties at a rate of one per year, and I've done it for 5 years. So the first one, I sort of jumped in on the deep end and started off with a three-unit building. And since then, I've accumulated at the rate of one single-family home per year for the following 4 years.
And how are you building up the money to purchase the one property a year? Is it money that you and your boyfriend are making from your freelancing gigs plus the rental income? Or is it just the rental income? I imagine probably needs to be more than just a rental income or profit, rather. So what's your approach for, kind of creating that money to invest in the, subsequent properties?
It's a combination. I use some of the profits, the cash flow, I should say. I use some of the cash flow from the other properties. I sort of put that into three buckets. Some of that cash flow is used for repairs and maintenance on those properties. Some of that cash flow is used to build an emergency fund and pay down the mortgages. And then some of that cash flow is used to buy the next one. And then in addition to that, as you said, the money that I make from my other business, my online freelance business, a lot of that goes into buying more properties. And so my boyfriend and I have this savings strategy in which we live on one person's income and save the other person's. And I realize that sounds a little bit, it sounds a little extreme when I say it like that. But if you think about it, a lot of families in America are one-income families. According to the U.S. Census Bureau, the average American household has 1.3 income earners. So many, many households in America rely on one income. And so our philosophy has been, let's live like the average American. Let's live on one income, and then we'll take the other income and put all of it into savings, which eventually turns into either the down payment on another house, or if the other house is cheap enough, we'll just buy that other house in cash, free and clear.
Have you had to adjust your strategy as Atlanta gets more and more notoriety as a place to invest from, you know, from investors across the nation?
That's a great question. I have. I've had to look into neighborhoods that I otherwise wouldn't have looked at. So in 2010, there are certain neighborhoods that I wouldn't have even considered. And now that prices have risen substantially and the math just doesn't make sense in those neighborhoods anymore, the cap rates at the current purchase price are just, they don't work out. I've had to look at different neighborhoods. So the last house that I bought was in a neighborhood that I never would have even considered had it not been for the fact that I knew some other investors who were investing there, and they urged me, like, Paula, keep an open mind, take a look at this place. And I at first was very resistant. I was like, no, I'm not going to. But, you know, I spent time there and I looked at the numbers, and I spent a lot of boots on the ground time there too, just sitting at going to the stores and having lunch there and sort of getting a feel for the space. And eventually, once I got comfortable enough with that neighborhood, I took the leap, bought a house there. That was house number 5.
How do you evaluate a property initially to see if it's worth spending more time to investigate further?
So the back of the envelope calculation is, does the property meet the 1% rule? Meaning, is the gross monthly income at least 1% of the purchase price? In other words, for every $100,000 of house, it needs to rent for at least $1,000 a month. For a $200,000 house, it needs to rent for at least $2,000 a month, and so on. If it doesn't meet that rule, I don't even consider it. Now, there are some investors, some rental property investors, who believe that that is too generous. They believe in what's called the 2% rule, which is basically, it's that rule but double. So the 2% rule would state that for every $100,000 of house, it needs to rent for at least $2,000 a month. I personally do not use that rule as a baseline criteria because the reward is proportionate to the risk. So in a more stable neighborhood where you tend to get higher quality tenants, lower vacancies, lower turnover, and just a lower number of headaches, in those neighborhoods, I'm happy to get a 1% rule house, given that I'm also in a better neighborhood.
Are you ready for the best ever lightning round?
Yeah, let's do it.
First, a quick word from our best ever sponsors. Crowdfunding. You've heard about it, and now it's time to learn about it. Our best ever sponsor, Patch of Land, is a leading expert in the crowdfunding space, and they've got all the answers to your crowdfunding questions. Go to patchofland.com/best ever and grab your copy of the top 10 answers to the top 10 crowdfunding questions. That's patchofland.com/best ever. Do you need an equity partner, or do you know about a great deal and want to get paid for finding it? Masia Development is looking for retail and medical office deals nationwide in the 1 to 30 million range. With over 500 million of assets in their portfolio, Masia Development can help you make that retail or medical office deal happen. Email them at jv@masciadev.com. Okay, Paula, best ever book you've read?
Cashflow Quadrant by Robert Kiyosaki.
Best ever listeners, I know you like audio, so you can go to freebesteverbook.com and get a free audio version of a book like that. Best ever personal growth experience and what you learned from it.
quitting my job and traveling the world for 2 years, and I learned that I could do anything and that I could afford anything.
Best ever success habit you practice?
When I do practice it, it's waking up early in the morning. I'm not great at it, but I occasionally practice that, and it completely remakes my day.
Best ever deal you've done?
The second house that I bought, we bought it for $21,000 in cash, put $10,000 into repairing it, so we're in it for $31,000 total, and it rents for about $900 a month.
How'd you find it?
Through a friend who is a foreclosure agent.
And how much does it rent for?
$900 a month. Well, $895 specifically.
Best ever project you're most excited about right now?
My website, affordanything.com. It has a huge and very rapidly growing readership. We've got about 12,000 email subscribers right now and more than 100,000 visits a month. And people are really excited about freedom and real estate and investing. It's been really, really rewarding to inspire and teach and lead through that site.
What's been the most popular piece of content that you have on there?
It changes, but right now I have a series about the details. It's what I call the Airbnb experiment. So I took one of my rental units and decided to rent it out on Airbnb. And I wanted to test whether or not Airbnb would be more or less lucrative than using that as a long-term rental, given the Airbnb, it has a higher monthly, gross revenue. But at the same time, it also has more vacancy, more turnover, consumables. I pay all the utilities, all of those other overhead expenses. So I've carefully documented every dime coming in and going out through the Airbnb experiment and written these very, very detailed, very comprehensive articles about it. And those are currently my most popular posts.
And what's the verdict? Is it more profitable to do Airbnb? Or is it more profitable to do the traditional way of renting it out with a long-term resident?
It is. It is more profitable to rent it through Airbnb, but it's also more hassle. So you have to make a decision as to whether or not your time and perhaps more importantly, your mental space would like to take on that additional management load.
Best ever way you like to give back?
Through teaching. Teaching has always been important to me. My dad was a teacher. My dad is a teacher and my mom was a stay-at-home mom. And so that's always been a big part of our family. And that's the way that I like to sort of spread my spread goodness out into the world.
Best ever quote?
Fortune Favors the Bold by Virgil.
What would you say is the biggest mistake you've made in real estate?
Trying to do everything myself, which is what I did in the beginning. I was very locked into the DIY mentality and didn't respect that this is a business. And if you, the investor, has to make a profit even after paying for the management and the contractor and everything else, I used to think that I could quote unquote increase my profits. And I'm putting those in giant air quotes. I used to think I could increase my profits if I did the work myself and paid myself zero. I now see that that is BS accounting. So that was my biggest mistake.
What's the best ever place to reach you, Paula?
AffordAnything.com. You can reach out to me there. I'm also on Facebook at AffordAnything, Twitter at AffordAnything, or you could find me on Instagram just through my name, Paula Pant.
Paula, thank you so much for being on the show and sharing your best ever advice with the best ever listeners. And before I get into some of the things I learned about what you're saying, I just want to mention what I heard, and you have a beautiful voice. I mean, I think you should definitely start your own podcast just from your own experience. Number one, you got a great story, but you've got a voice for this stuff too. I mean, I wish I had your voice. The best ever listeners wish I had your voice too, right? Because I'd sound a lot smoother and better. But, with the show and our conversation, I mean, this truly has been a conversation about your journey. And, whenever you were in the bustling and cutting edge industry of newspapers to wanting to get out of there and seeing that you didn't want that 9-to-5 job for the rest of your life. You wanted to create your own future. You wanted to create your own destiny. And you knew that you needed to make some things happen in order for that to come to fruition. And, one of the things, when you first started the short sale, $440,000 property, you bought it for $225,000. And that was as a result of you doing just a little bit of analysis at the property you're at the current moment and seeing that the landlord wasn't making money, and that opened up your eyes to other opportunities, and that's when the short sale presented itself right down the street. And you know, when you go into that type of property with that amount of equity, that sets you up for some big time success to be able to leverage that if you choose to do so. And you'd mentioned that even though you got a higher interest rate, 5.375%, which is much higher than what people were typically getting at that time, who cares? As long as the numbers work out, because it's all about the numbers and it's about the, you know, the cash flow of the property. And I love how you stay focused in your area, which happens to be residential, single, multifamily, small multifamily within Atlanta, and how you've evolved your approach over time as Atlanta gets more notoriety, gets notice from investors out of state more and more, and you've shifted your focus and you've used your proximity to the area to your advantage, where you're able to scope out the scene for new up-and-coming areas and spending time there and kind of hanging out, having coffee at the coffee shop, and kind of checking out the vibe and seeing really who's living there, you know, what type of industry is present, what type of jobs are there, and kind of the profile of not only the business but the people, and getting to know them. And you know, lastly, I think one of the things that stood out to me in this conversation was living on one person's income and saving the other person's income. It reminds me of a book I read, Self-Made in America by John McCormick. I recently read it, even though it's a really old book. Well, I mean, maybe like 15, 20 years. But the author just talks about the success that immigrants have whenever they come to this country, because one of the reasons, not the only reason, but one of the reasons is because they live below their means and they save. And they take that money and they reinvest. They don't let their lifestyle increase as they make more money. They keep their lifestyle consistent until they have an opportunity to have more of a nest egg to play with. And sometimes even they still remain at that lifestyle even after they become multimillionaires. And that's one of the reasons he mentioned. So I love the approach of living on one person's income and saving the other person. So thank you so much for being on the show, Paula, sharing your best ever advice with the best ever listeners, and we'll talk to you soon.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. All right, take care.
Hey, you best ever listener. Do you want more? Then go to joefairless.com, where you'll get tons of free videos, templates, and content to help you get deals done. And remember to subscribe to the best ever show in iTunes, so you can keep getting your daily dose of the best real estate investing advice ever.